Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares reminds us how to be godly.
Godly people do things for God, and they start by asking why. Get up in the morning, go to church, why? Going to volunteer, go to this ministry opportunity, why? Going to read the Bible to my kids before they go to sleep tonight, why? You got a lot of choices, but let's just put them into two categories. You can do it for God, or you can do it for some other reason. Godly people do it for God.
What's your motivation in life? Some people are motivated by power, others by prestige, and some are motivated by money. While none of these are inherently wrong, there's one motivation we should prioritize above all others: God's will for us. Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares reminds us that godly Christians do things for God and no one else. Pastor Mike titled this message, How to Be Godly, from our series called Adding to Your Faith. We're opening to 2 Peter chapter 1.
You have a reputation, I suppose people, for the most part, people at work, people in your family, friends in the neighborhood, could probably sum up your life in one word. I just wonder what that word would be. If perhaps you could receive as your word association the topic of study that we're going to look at this morning, you would have achieved the highest compliment that any human being could ever receive. If I said your name, would your name be associated with the word godly? If it was, you couldn't have anything greater than a summary of your life in that one word. Your name, godly. That should be something that is more coveted in our minds than any award, any trophy, any recognition, any certificate, any promotion, any raise you could ever get, is that people start to see you as a godly man or a godly woman. If you've studied anything in the Bible about godly people or godliness in general, you might realize that godliness is much more than just avoiding the major sins in life. As a matter of fact, oddly enough, there are several in the Bible who happen to have some pretty significant and serious transgressions on their record, and they're still considered godly. Godliness does not mean perfection. So some of you may say, my name and godly, never in the same sentence. But take heart, because it doesn't mean that you've had a perfect life. And it doesn't mean that even as a Christian, you've lived the perfect Christian life. It has something to do with your life focused on and saturated with the living God. To be godly is to direct my life toward God. And if we take 2 Peter chapter 1 seriously, verses 5 and 6 tell us that we ought to make every effort to add to our faith. That's a lot of work, a lot of attention to bringing into our lives godliness. If you bring enough godliness into your life, and I might say if you bring all seven of these virtues into your life, people may stand back and start to say, you know what? Jim, godly. Stephanie, godly. Linda, godly. Bill, godly. John, godly. Mark, godly. Tim, godly. Susan, godly. If you could recognize the opportunity that the Bible gives us and the chance that you have every day to focus more of your life toward God, you may attain to the thing that you and I as Christians ought to be shooting for. The culmination of all that it means to walk with God could be described as godliness. We want more godliness in our lives. And if we're going to add more godliness to our lives, we need to direct more of our life toward God. Did you catch that? That's the gist of it this morning. If we're to add more godliness to our life, then we need to direct more of our life toward God. And it starts with the most fundamental level. If you're taking notes, fill in the first one, would you? If we are going to add more godliness to our life, we certainly need to think about God more. You and I need to think about God more if we're ever going to be recognized by others and by God as a person that's godly. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 63, the Old Testament songbook filled with many songs and lyrics of songs that the Israelites sang, many of them written by David. David, by the way, wrote many of them as a shepherd, and he wrote many of them as a king. This one happens to be in Psalm 63, a reference to David's life as the king. And as the king, you've got to remember, David had a pretty busy life. Just imagine you, king of a nation. You may feel like you've got that many responsibilities, but trust me, you don't. Your schedule may be busy, and it may be filled with significant things, but King David definitely had a life that was probably more significant in terms of critical, important issues in his life that filled his daytimer. Let's just admit to that, right? Busy guy, making decisions about governors, about leaders, about military campaigns, about finances, the economy of his nation. This was a busy guy with a lot on his mind. Not a perfect guy. You remember his track record, right? Adulterer, murderer. And yet he is described in the Bible as a godly man, and a godly man thinks a lot about God. Note this in Psalm 63. Drop your eyes down to verse number 6. David testifies, testimony, confessions of a godly man, that on my bed I remember you, he says to God. I think of you through the watches of the night. When you lay awake in bed at night, what runs through your mind? Work, family, schedule for the next day, evaluating the schedule for the day I just lived, got relationships to worry about, provide for my welfare in my household, got decisions to make, got letters to respond to, got cars that need to be fixed, right? Got all kinds of things on the horizon. That usually dominates our mind, dominates mine. When I'm staring at the ceiling at night after a long day, it's the kind of stuff usually runs around in my mind. You know what runs through the mind of a godly man? On my bed, he says, look at it. I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. When you are free to think about whatever you want to think about, what do you think about? As A.W. Tozer once said, without a doubt, the mightiest thought that the mind can think is the thought of God. Why waste your mind on any topic but that when you are free to think about whatever you want to think about? And yet we fill our minds with all kinds of things. When the Bible testifies that godly men and women focus their thoughts on God, because God to them is everything. And if they have a free moment, their thought is going to gravitate back to God. If they have opportunity, they're going to be pondering God. Now, we all live busy lives. We may have so much going on in our lives that we think, I don't have time to think about God because I have way too much to think about already. If you have so much to think about that you can't ponder God like David, then you have too much to think about. It's just that simple. In the Bible, we were not created, it says, to be the number one salesman in the company. We were not created to be the number one mom in the neighborhood. We weren't created to be the best in our field, the best in our business. We weren't created to make the most in our company. We were created to be godly. And godly people think about God. They ponder God. When they have a free moment to think, they think about God. How do you do in that department? You'll never be a godly person until that dominates your life, because our mind has to be saturated on God. And look at the verses that surround it. Notice the reciprocal nature of verse 6 and the rest of this passage. He begins in verse 1 and says, "Oh God, you're my God." I hope you take time to study this passage. It's so good. He says, "I earnestly seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you like a man wandering through the desert looking for a drink of water in a dry and weary land where there's no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary." And he's not seeing visions here. We're talking about him recognizing the awesomeness of God in his worship. He says, "I've seen what God is all about. I've beheld the power and glory of God." And maybe you have too. You've sensed what it's like to sit in God's presence. You know, you've tasted what it's like to really stand in awe of God. He says, "Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live." Notice the determination of King David. "And in your name I will lift my hands," this symbol and picture of Old Testament prayer. "My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods." Man, it's better than prime rib to think about God. "With singing on my lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you, and your right hand upholds me." Simplify and clean out the closets of your mind so that you have room to stuff more thoughts of God. Because if you have too much to think about and you think, "I don't have any room to throw more thoughts of God in," just jot this reference down, look it up later and feel convicted. You won't even need me around, all right? Psalm 10, verse 4. It's real clear. It says, "The wicked have no room for God in their thoughts." Convicting. Because their minds are cluttered with all kinds of things. I don't want to fall into that category. I don't want to be described by the holy God of the universe as a wicked man who doesn't have time to think about him. Ponder God. Discipline your mind. If you're going to be godly, add godliness to your life, you need to, number one, think more about God. I can only tell you, I can't help you more than that. It's got to be a disciplined activity of life. And maybe you'll start, like Psalm 63 suggests, by way of example, just when you go to bed at night. That's a great time. Isn't it your mind? You can kind of test it tonight. Where's my mind going to go? Focus back on God. Focus back on God. Let's just ponder God. The more I think about Him, contemplate Him, meditate on the concept of who He is, the more godly I'll become, because that's where the direction of my life starts, where I think and where my mind goes when I'm free to think about whatever I want to think about. Number two. If you and I are going to be godly people, we need to not only think more about God, we need to do more for God. Number two. Oh, man. Do more for God. I already told you I'm busy. My life is busy. I don't even have time to think much more about God. Now you want me to do more for God. Look, pal, here's my day timer. It's full. Well, the emphasis on this point I'm trying to make is not on doing more for God. It's doing more for God. The emphasis is on the for, not the more. My point is this: do more of what you do, and instead of doing it for you, do it for God. Okay? If the first one speaks to my thoughts, then the second step speaks to my motives. And what I'm trying to suggest this morning is that you and I, if we're ever going to be godly people, we've got to start doing more of what we do and directing it toward God. That's what godly people do. Turn in your Bibles. Let me prove this to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Even the mundane little things of life need to be done for God. You know the verse I'm going to, right? Sunday school graduates. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. What does it say? "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do," eat or drink. Now, wait a minute. Are you saying you can eat a combination burrito and drink Pepsi for God? I didn't write it. It's right there. "Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Now, all I know about eating is that I'm supposed to say thanks before I do it. That's why we pray. No, you are supposed to, according to this verse, if you want to be a godly man or a godly woman, you're supposed to say, "When I pick up that taco today and cram that into my mouth, I want to be doing this for a different reason. Why do we eat? I mean, if there's ever a most basic, simple concept about here's something I do for me. My stomach is growling. I'm very hungry. I would like to go to lunch, and I'd like to take some tasty food and shove it in my mouth. Chew it up and swallow it and make my belly feel good. Right? That's all about me from start to finish. Right? Paul says, even eating can be done for God. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, there's the phrase you ought to circle. Do it all for the glory of God. Look at it one more time. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Think about that for a second. Even the simple, mundane things of life, the Bible says it is possible for you and for me to do them for God. How in the world am I going to do that? It may be possible, but I find it to be a very difficult proposition for me to think that tomorrow morning I'm going to get up and do my day for God. Four things that may help, okay? Just real simple things. Number one comes from Zechariah, Old Testament passage. You can look it up later. Zechariah chapter 7, verses 5 and 6. God tells the people, the prophet rather, to ask the people. It says, ask the people, the land, and the priest. When you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months, did you do it for me? I love the way it puts it in the NIV. Was it really for me that you did it? Verse 6 says, and when you were eating and drinking all these feast days, all these religious holidays on the calendar for Israel, he said, weren't you just feasting for yourselves? You know what that implies? You and I can do the right things for the wrong reasons. Why'd you come to church today? Don't answer. But I wonder, it's an issue of motives. Here's four things that I think will help. Number one is ask why. Okay? Zechariah 7 tells us that we can do the right things for the wrong reasons, which means I'm really not being godly. I'm just doing the right thing, and there's a big difference. Godly people do things for God, and they start by asking why. Get up in the morning, go to church, why? Gonna put a couple bucks in that bag and it goes around, why? Gonna volunteer, go to this ministry opportunity, why? Gonna read the Bible to my kids before they go to sleep tonight, why? You got a lot of choices, but let's just put them into two categories. You can do it for God, or you can do it for some other reason. Godly people do it for God. So start by asking the question, why? And notice that every good thing and bad thing has a motive behind it. Got to ask what the motive is. Secondly, I think you need to start injecting thanks into what you do. I put it this way. You need to ask why and you need to say thanks. This one comes from Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 18. Deuteronomy 12, 18, God told the Israelites, you are to rejoice. Context is all about thanksgiving. You are to rejoice. Be thankful before the Lord in everything you put your hand to do. Think about that. You can go out and plow the fields. You Israelites, when you plow those fields, you put your hand to that plow, rejoice. Be thankful as you do it. You know what that's going to do? It's going to start to take all the dust and uncover all the surfacey stuff, and it's going to get down to this is related to God in some way. Had some friends got back from a third world country just about 2 weeks ago. They shared with me their experience of finding a small group of Christians in this little church. And they said, you know, the interesting thing was when we bowed our heads and we spent some time praying together in their little prayer meeting there that they had, it was just amazing and convicting how thankful they were for everything. Here they were in a third world country saying, God, thank you that I have shoes on my feet. God, thank you that our little building here has a roof on it. God, thank you so much that my child has come here and was healthy enough to walk. God, thanks so much for providing food for our family yesterday. God, thank you so much. You know, and here we are going off to work, whistling, you know, forgetting all about the connection of what we're experiencing and what God has done and given us, the provision there. And the Bible says that godly people, if we're going to start doing things for God, we need to start seeing God in what we're doing. And that means, I think, that we need to be thankful. Say thanks no matter what you're doing. Some of you may have some terrible things on your schedule tomorrow, some tough things that are coming up. It's okay. You can always look at these situations and see things to be thankful for. You may be going to a job and it's just, you know, a tough, tough, tough day tomorrow. You've got a job, huh? Right? That's something to be thankful for. They're paying you for that at the end of the day, right? They're paying you a lot more than a lot of people in a lot of places who are working a lot harder than you and not getting anything. All I'm saying is the perspective is I start to see God in this. That helps me start to work on my motive. I ask, why am I doing this? Then I start seeing God in it. Thirdly, Colossians chapter 3. If you're taking notes, jot it down. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The verse ends in verse 15, by the way, by saying, be thankful. And when it says, be thankful, it says, you guys get the word of God and let it richly dwell inside of you. And then you guys should admonish one another and care for each other and all that as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitudes in your hearts. So that in whatever you do, whether in word or deed, you're doing it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What's the key in that verse? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay? Those are just three archaic Greek words that refer to music about God. The first thing is to ask why, and the second thing is to say thanks. The third thing, interestingly enough, if we're going to have godly motives, is to go about our activities tomorrow singing. Does that sound weird to you? Well, you haven't heard me sing, Pastor Mike. I don't think you'd really like that. Well, it does say in your heart, so if it doesn't come out your mouth very well, let's make sure there's a tune in your heart. Singing. Interesting connection between that and my motives. It helps to clarify and put my mind on God. God created music for Himself to get our little minds, and music uploads like software, doesn't it? It sticks in there and it just runs its course. The melody, the lyrics, all of that was designed by God to get our focus in what we're doing to be on Him. Did you notice when we come to church, we don't do arts and crafts and preaching? Have you noticed that? We don't have half hour of basket weaving and then we get into the Bible lesson for the day, right? Have you noticed that? Seems to be a pattern to this. We always come and we sing and then we study God's Word. Why are those two critical, crucial elements? Because the Word of God is our authority. It's the place we go to find God's will for our life. It's where we go to find our spiritual sustenance. But the singing part, what's that all about? Not only is it an avenue of worship, you know what it's doing into your head, I hope? It's uploading stuff for you to use tomorrow.
Do you want to know God's will for your life? Go to the Word of God, our authority and source of spiritual sustenance. You're listening to Focal Point with Pastor Mike Fabares. And today's message is titled, How to Be Godly. To view the study notes or to share this message with a friend, be sure to visit us online at focalpointradio.org. At Focal Point, our mission is to teach the depths of Scripture, even the unpopular parts, and to train and equip you to teach God's Word to others. As part of that mission, we pick out high-quality resources to send you when you give a financial gift in support of this ministry. Our current offer is titled Living Without Worry, and it's a timely resource to help us navigate through modern life. Worry is an extremely common yet unchallenged problem, and many of us don't know how to stop worrying, even when we know we need to. Dr. Tim Lane has written a warm and pastoral book to help us see the line where godly concern turns into sinful worry and how Scripture can be used to cast our cares upon the Lord. Again, it comes with our thanks when you join with us by donating today. Go to focalpointradio.org or call us at 888-320-5885. That's 888-320-5885. If you'd rather mail your gift, our address is Focal Point, Post Office Box 2850, Laguna Hills, California, 92654. And again, we're so grateful for your support. Every penny you give makes an eternal difference, helping countless people explore the depths of Scripture so they can grow in faith and be equipped for the mission. So again, thank you. Even if you can't give today, we'd still love to hear from you. And when you get in touch, we have a free pamphlet we'd like to send you. Request The Armor of God when you visit focalpointradio.org. Well, I'm your host, Dave Drewy. So glad to have you with us. And don't forget to tune in Thursday for the conclusion of our message called How to Be Godly. That's right here tomorrow on Focal Point.
Pastor Mike here. You know, it's an honor to be with you every day, helping you explore the depths of Scripture. But I want to be clear, no amount of Bible knowledge is ever going to save you. Be sure where you stand with God. Get in touch with us. We'd love to pray with you and for you. Visit us today at focalpointradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.